Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Otis Snidus.
Kenneth Orland.
Tony Keel.
BT Oz.
Guest co-host
Bruce Hurd.
You know, Ken, I tell you something, you're not going to believe me, but I lost 35 pounds.
Wow. Well, glad that you lost poop.
Have you been, like, eating at Subway or something? Or?
No, I eat whatever the fuck I want. I have candy for breakfast and candy for lunch and, you know, I don't know, ice cream for dinner.
Now, that sounds like to me you've been out trick-or-treating, Tony.
We did go trick-or-treating last
you
night.
You did? Did you have a lot of fun?
Well, I was bringing my 2-year-old, so no.
You're double dipping on the trick or treating?
Oh shit! No, I actually started going to the gym every day. That's why I lost weight.
Now, Ken, you went trick or treating, didn't you?
No, I don't have any kids.
Oh, I thought you went out trick or treating and you didn't need a mask. Your face was enough to scare all the kids away. I threw the candy at you.
The joke would have worked a lot better if I had actually said I was trick or treating. You just kind of like. Thought that would be a good joke when I would, like, fall into it, but when I didn't, you just kept on going anyway. That's, like, that's not cool, man.
Oh, hey, though, that shows dedication to a lame joke.
No, it's like you got to be able to, you got to be willing to pull out, you know, if it's not going well, you know?
Oh, well, I get my ideas from Letterman.
Oh, that's your first problem right there. Oh, welcome to Modcast episode 22. Today, we are joined with Wouter Locutus Snyders.
Hello.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Howdy, folks.
John BT Oz Archer.
G'day, everyone.
And me, Tony Garrett Tzedzaka Keel, with special guest co-host Bruce Ambreville Hurd.
Hi, everyone.
All right. So much fun planned for this show. It's so much fun, you might need to wear an adult diaper. It could be that bad. You might just let a little out, you know?
Well, this is ominous.
Well, I already changed mine. I'm going to change it after the show again, so I'm gonna be cool.
Tony, are you sure you haven't been on Jerry Springer's show?
I did, but they actually threw me off the show saying I was too weird for their show.
Okay.
In the news, we talk about John becoming a co-host.
And today in the Artist Sketch Pack, you look at the Gloriana and Rama Leaderhead by C.F. Kane, the KTO Armored Personnel Vehicle by Astio Astio Astio, and Golden Gate Bridge by T. Centom 1. And today in the Code Corner, we looked at the colonization mod, Code Alert, by Omniomjohn.
And today in the Modest Spotlight, we've been speaking with Bruce Ambel Hurd about his mod.
Here's what's been making the news in the SIF community.
We do have...
Introducing the new co-host.
Ah, yes, we do have a new co-host. It is our good friend, John Archer. We wanted to announce in our news category today that John made the cut just barely over his competition. It was a extremely hard decision, as both Wouter and Ken can attest, and it was a very close race. So, John, congratulations.
Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Pretty much it came down to his willingness to say the word crikey a lot.
Actually, just give us a crikey right now to prove it.
Crikey!
Yeah!
Oh!
That was awesome, crikey. Yeah, this guy has the crikey willingness. I also wanted to say our runner-up was Tim Ruffhigh Pratt, and he was most gracious in defeat, and I also asked him to be our official Modcast backup host. So, if for any reason we have a problem, I will try to call Tim. Say, hey, we'll have two Aussies on the show. Let's go. Or if one of our Aussies is missing, you know?
Indeed. Or when Router ends up drunk in the streets, you know, and doesn't show up.
We're on walkabout.
Well, Water's just probably asleep right now, to be honest.
Pretty much.
It's all that Heineken.
I was wondering, like a stick and poke it. You know?
We need an internet stick.
Yeah.
Reach out and poke somebody.
He's still wearing the clogs around, I see.
Yeah, Water, you really should take those off and wash your feet. Water's just taking it, grin and bear it, Water. No comebacks yet, I see.
No, you just wait and see.
Yes. His joy, you know, when it comes, will be awesome.
Devastating. And
revenge is a dish best served cold.
Much ooh, like Dutch
we're
beer.
We're quaking our boots already.
That is true. And by that, I do mean Dutch beer and not that Heineken piss water.
Oh.
That's only for export, right?
All right. So, John, I'm glad you're on the show.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
What made you actually want to be on the show? I never really asked you that.
Oh, it's much more fun than Polycast.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Nice.
Ouch.
Ooh.
It is. Because it's all too...
Take that, Dan.
Shiny.
Oh, Dan does have his shiny.
That's right.
Oh, Dan's going to be pissed. Well, we're glad you're on now, and...
Speaking of other ways we can piss off Polycast.
Oh, I don't know. We could we could use Wouter to record a fake Polycast and then use Wouter to publish it instead of Dan's version.
That sounds like a very groovy idea.
Yeah, Dan would get enough plane tickets to fly to each of our houses and have all his butt luggage would be a carry-on baseball bat. Well, John also is going to be our official mod slave.
Ooh.
Mod slave.
So John has volunteered his freedom to a life of indentured mod-playing servitude.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, none of us ever actually get around to playing any of the mods.
Of us non-working bastards, I have played more mods, at least, than the rest of you. Ken, you have not even played your own mods.
I didn't even play my own game.
No, Ken called me the other day, hey, I need some Python out of colonization. I'm like, don't you have a copy? I mean, you helped make that game.
No.
Well, I left that before I got my free copies. And I was, like, too cheap to go out and buy my own.
They did give you a T-shirt, didn't they, Ken?
No, I missed the T-shirt, dude.
You give your heart and soul, and look what you get in return.
But the PS3 they gave me before I left, that was not bad. Yeah, it was, like, a week before I left, it's like, oh, everyone get the PS3, you know? I was like,
not bad.
Mmm.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. I have included some excellent artwork, some beautiful, beautiful artwork, and the first I wanted to talk about today was actually one particular person's very first leaderheads, and I thought they were so good for a first leaderhead, I just had to put them in, and they are by C.F. Kane. It is Rama and Gloriana, where Rama is a...
Papa Smurf?
Ancient... No, he does have the complexion of Papa
Smurf. Wait, Rama is a giant alien cylindrical artifact traveling through our solar system. Everyone knows that.
Ooh. Thank you, dork person. You are such a nerd, it actually pains me, but I'm a nerd because I know that reference, so it's doubly painful. No, Rama also happens to be an ancient Hindu god. The gentleman was blue-colored.
He's probably an alien anyway, come down to Earth.
Well, no, actually, there's a blood disorder that makes people blue.
Ah.
Very rare. Rama was a prince or a king, and Gloriana, the second one, you know, obviously his first two leaderheads are funny-colored people. Rama's blue, and Gloriana's green.
Well, she looks like a Vulcan to me. They have green skin, don't they? Vulcans look at Mr. Spock.
No, you're thinking of those, like, green, sexy women from the original series that would occasionally
make out with Vulcans.
Kirk's all,
yeah.
I prefer funny-colored girls.
Yeah, I think you're right. They were Orion.
Gloriana, I believe, is a fairy queen from a particular poem, which I cannot recall the name of. And she is the queen of the Fae. So she's got little will-o'-wisps in front of her floating around. What do you think? First Leaderhead ever. How? What do you think?
Yeah, for first time, they're pretty neat. I mean, it's mostly a recolorization, a skinning effect. So he has changed the hat on the llama there,
yeah.
Character's guy. The other one is, you can see it. What leader is that? Elizabeth? Made very green.
Very green.
Although, I can't tell. These will-o'-the-wisps in front, are those static when you actually view it, or do those, like, animate and float around?
Because
that would be really slick if they floated around.
I have not actually loaded these. I have just looked at the beautiful screenshots.
Yeah, because I know, like, when the model is animated, there's, like, a flat background behind it. There's the character, and then, you know, there's the camera viewpoint. If you actually added animated orbs of light in front of it, you could get an effect that would be quite interesting.
Well, actually, you probably could get it with the same animation that makes moving sky in the background. Just put it up front of the model and put little dots so it moves slowly.
Well, yeah, I guess they could be a flat... It could be a flat object with just the light sources moving around and an animation in front of it. Or they could be 3D objects.
Good question.
And 3D objects sound a lot harder to do. Or there could just be a static picture.
Isn't it nice when we actually do our research for the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're Tony's Leaderhead.
Researchers, hey.
Allow
you
me
all have
to
access
quote.
To the forum.
Allow me to quote. The little lights around Gloriana are supposed to be the other fairies, since she is the fairy queen. They are just the great prophet effects, recolored and attached to various bones, so they float around her head.
Sweet.
Oh, excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
Well, CF Kane, very nice first Leaderheads. Can't wait to see what your next one will be. It'll probably go in the show if you keep getting as good as you are. And then we also have a armored personnel carrier. A brief look at it, of course, by our good friend, Ozio. You guys seeing this thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a practically photorealistic Polish armored personnel
vehicle.
Oh,
God, his textures are getting so damn good.
Yeah, I mean, down to the rivets and the side plates and the little shadowy things and the... Yeah, like, everything's there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think... and it's not too high poly, if I'm not mistaken. Well, actually, it's a little bit. It's 1100 triangle, so it's got a few polys, but it's probably all these little gizmos attached to it and such.
It's not the number of the polys; it's how you use them.
I hope he's got animation on those.
Oh, I can almost guarantee it. It's probably See, if you look in the picture, the next picture down, you can see it's shooting a mechanized infantry weapon, and it looks like he's shooting little Osama bin Laden.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It looks like a Taliban bloke.
Well, you know, you gotta have someone to shoot.
No, absolutely.
And then we also have, now this one's kind of a code as well as a mod, but it is called the Golden Gate Bridge mod, and it's a wonder that sort of like the Great Wall makes a graphical representation on the map, not in the city, and you can see, if you look at the mod, he's got little bridge segments going across the water in the lower pictures. And he said that if you build it on a coastal city, any islands within, like, 3 or 4 squares will have this bridge going across to them.
Hmm. Yeah, I looked at the code, and what it does is it takes the city's location and basically draws out 4 lines, you know, what the compass rose like, and... If those spots are coast, it will put bridge segments on them going out until it hits ocean. So these islands, they have to be directly north, south, east, west of them. And if you're kind of like on the coast, it'll go along it. So it's an interesting effect. It's definitely original in that, you know, how it adds them to the map. And these are essentially an improvement, so it's coming down like that. It's not like the Great Wall of China.
Not like the Aqueduct.
In the way that they did it in BTS, because that's actually doing something that's not... it's not an improvement. It's between
cuts.
But this is still pretty interesting. But I have to say,
yeah.
I think the effects he gave the Wonder, it's like plus 10% this, plus 10% that. You know what I say. If it's not 25%, it's not worth it. It's like 10% gold, 10% culture, well, 10% commerce in all cities. That's really the only effect.
Well,
that
you know,
I
Ken, I just think you're greedy.
Good.
I think you're greedy.
No, I'm not greedy. I'm just saying it's not worth it. Anything that's less than 25% is just...
Because you're greedy.
Small. Oh, and I think the graphics should be more orange.
I think if you're going to add a bridge like this, it should actually allow units to be moved over those tiles.
Yes.
Grant units.
That would be cool.
Yes, I was thinking that myself.
Cool.
Do units move over the bridge to the little islands?
No, they don't. Not right now.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization IV modding community.
Now, we have call alerts by Onmegium. No. Yes, that. He has made a alerts program based on the old school Elmer Jiggle, which I love that Dr. Elmer Jiggle's name. He's basically ported it over to colonization.
Yep. You take the exact same custom event manager, because it's compatible between Civ, BTS, and colonization, and then he's created the little extra file that plugs in, and that creates the colonization alerts. And he's got an alert for a number of important things. When a settlement is going to grow, when a settlement's going to starve the next turn, so you have a turn for a warning. He's got settlements, when their sources of raw materials are going to overflow, so you're going to, you know, you're going to about to lose some of your yield there. When there are new immigrants ready on the docks. So it's some of the most basic, useful information you need about the game to know when something is going to happen that you want to take action on ahead of time. And they'll pop up on the screen in the traditional pop-up alert fashion that we're familiar with from, the mod when it was for Civ 4.
Which is quite useful because colonization has a lot of stuff going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's quite the micromanagement hell. So, in a fun kind of way, but...
I actually enjoyed micromanaging colonization. I love doing all. It's a fun, fun game. Although, I mean, playing it once or twice through, you know...
You're done already?
Well, I think I'm going to play it again on a higher difficulty level, but... The game is tough on near easiest level. It's still tough.
So you're getting your butt kicked.
But this might help out a little bit, you know? This mod right here.
Well, what they really need to do is make sure that none of the goods are shipped to a city that's already at capacity with that particular resource. That would be nicer, actually.
Yeah, that was kind of a pain in the butt because...
Yeah, to put it mildly,
well,
yeah.
at least the good thing is if you have the big warehouse, it sells your junk off, but... I wonder if this alerts mod will alert you if your warehouse is reaching full.
It takes into account the size of your warehouse.
Very nice, very nice. How the heck do you say this guy's name? Another one goes to unpronounceable forum name. Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community. Alright, now, Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce.
Yes.
What are you doing on this show?
Right now, I'm just having fun.
Oh,
just
okay.
Listening to you guys is very amusing.
Girl, these guys are freaking crackheads. Alright.
That's true.
We wanted you to come on the show. What mod are you bringing to us today?
Well, the mod that I wanted to talk about mostly was Battle of Britain. This is a mod that deals essentially with World War II airplanes, as you could guess it. And it's more of a test than anything else. Just wanted to see if it was possible to actually come up with a mod that would focus essentially on airplanes. No tanks, no armies, no infantry, nothing, except maybe some AK-AK. But essentially, it is a test to see if it's possible to run Civilization, Civ 4, BTS, with just airplanes. Bombers, fighters, things like that. Seems to be working. I couldn't really bring the mod all the way through to where what I really wanted, which was maybe a little bit too far, but at least I know it's possible to actually have that sort of mod. So, for example, that opens the door to things like naval battles or things that are a little bit more pointed than Civ in general. Even a modern Civ 4 that has tanks, airplanes, radars, rockets, and stuff like that. Now it's possible to design the game, at least I know I could design the game in a way that's a lot more pointed so that it focuses on one aspect of strategy.
Well, the first question that comes to my mind is, since it doesn't involve, conquering with ground units, how do you win this mod? Is there a victory?
Yeah. Right now, the only victory possible is by reaching a certain number of victory points. And when you get there, the game ends. That's not the way I wanted it. Now, you have to realize this is my second mod, and there are a lot of things I don't know how to do with Civ 4. But originally, the idea was, depending on how good you are with your Air Force, there should have been some coding in there that automatically causes bordering enemy cities to fall and become your own, basically. So it's kind of an abstract way of winning. The more you can defeat the enemy air force, the more of the enemy cities fall under your control. So it's kind of representing the reconquest of Europe, or the fall of Britain, as it were, depending on how well you do with your air superiority, basically. That didn't happen, because I don't have the expertise with Python or SDK to do something like that. But that was the original.
Well, I kind of like the idea of a point total. I think that is a pretty keen way to do it.
Well, that's the default.
Ah.
That's the default.
Now, what I would think is, in the actual Battle of Britain, the historical military experts, from what I understand, say that if the British had lost enough planes, so the Germans could have gained air superiority, and then, essentially, once they would have gotten a whole bunch of planes over Britain, they could have shot up every new plane as soon as the British launched it. You know, they would have just been able to bomb, and then eventually that bombing would have weakened Britain enough so that their ground invasion could have happened. And then, of course, also if they cut off enough supplies, which was a whole bunch of stuff with the U-boats.
Exactly. The underlying strategy here in the long run is really to paralyze the enemy's production. So the various types of airplanes have their own factories. So you've got the Vickers factories, you've got the Supermarine, whatever. And what you're supposed to do as a German attacker is to try to find where those factories are located and actually try to destroy them. The mod uses as a basis Dale's Combat mod, which allows you to actually attack specific buildings and destroy them within a city. So, of course, it becomes possible for the British player to actually bomb the correct cities in Germany to try to knock off the various Messerschmitt factories or the Focke-Wulf factories, things like that, to try to prevent the enemy from building more bombers, more fighters, and so forth. So the original idea was to have a number of things, a number of strategic objectives to target, whether it is an airplane factory or maybe flight schools, to try to deprive the enemy from a particularly important resource, which is, well, pilots.
Yeah, very few games in even World War II oriented games have very accurately modeled or even attempted to model the difference in crew. I mean, experienced airplane pilots were invaluable, and that was one of the major reasons why, for example, the Japanese lost in the Pacific, because they had a very poor, they didn't keep their guys for training. They was like, okay, you're a really good pilot, you fly until you're shut down, you know. But we had this whole system of training people, which really ultimately was very important.
Right.
Now, Bruce, have you heard about the secret weapons of the Luftwaffe?
Yeah, I've heard about them.
Right, so you haven't got haven't got any in your mod?
Yes, the secret weapons, so to speak. The
jets?
The jets,
those
of course.
Those are all
for, you have at least the 262 is in there. You've got one of the Arado bombers in there, and you've got the V1, V2s. But currently the AI really doesn't understand how to use V1s and V2s. It just builds them a ton of those things, and they sit in the city right now. So that's unfortunate.
Well, just use the AI for the cruise missile.
It doesn't seem to make any difference. That's what I'm using, basically. I just replaced the graphics of the cruise missile with graphics for the V1. But the AI doesn't seem to know really what to do with these things.
You have something on your to-do list after the show records is you have to upgrade to 3.17.
Yeah, but that's another thing I don't know how to do. You have to realize this is my second mod. So when I designed this, there are a lot of things I didn't understand as regards XML. It's the first time that I ever do anything at all with Python. So the only thing I did with Python really was dealing with the events, random events and things like that, scripted events. But that's it. Really, I'm a rookie when it comes to modding. This is something I did out of curiosity. And I was hoping to find some people to work with me to kind of deal with some of the tougher points. But unfortunately, I couldn't get anybody to sit with me and work with me on that.
Well, you do have to ask, and you know, this show's a good first step in getting there. But I would really like to see your mod get finished. I think that it's one of the more innovative ideas approaching a Civ modding, because most, if not all, other mods, you know, use a plethora of units, ground attack, artillery, but your mod is attempting to play a World War II battle in one theater, in the air.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
From the standpoint of flyers.
Yeah, it's cool though. I think it's innovative. And didn't your mod come out in Warlords originally?
No. The only other mod that I've done was North America AD 1640, which was Warlords. And it had the same problem in that there was a patch that came afterward, and I didn't know how to update it from the old patch to the new patch in Warlords.
Well, how do you think you would update it?
I'd have to do it from scratch, basically.
You're right. That's how you do it.
Mm. Well, you could.
Well,
you take the new
time
file.
Time consideration here.
You take the new Warlords SDK, and then you diff it with your own SDK. Or if, like, depending on if you've got a good diff program, you can just select the differences between your first one, between the files you used initially to make the mod from. So you've got the differences you added there, and then you take the differences from Warlords and that original, and you can combine the diff files. It's some tricky stuff sometimes.
You lost me there, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, you should get to it, man. I want to see this mod out for the newest version, so people can just download it and play it. You'll get a good number of downloads, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I have one more thing to say about this mod. Never in the history of human events have so few reviewed so much for so many.
that's a very poor imitation of Churchill.
Well, okay, you do a better one then. Come on.
Never in the history of mankind.
That's a little.
Okay, that was much better. I admit that.
I don't know. It was complete speech. If someone giving a speech, I'll read it off.
All right, one other final comment. The part about the AI doesn't know what to do with the V1. So So it's just like the Germans, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, let's like shoot these random rockets off. It's like not knowing where they go. And they said they were historically very ineffective.
I tell you, dealing with the AI was a real problem, because originally what the AI wanted to do was build massive numbers of AK-AK, either flak guns or the British AK-AK guns and things like that. It wanted to build a lot of workers and things like that. So I had to really twist a lot of the values, the AI values, in order to get the opponent of the player, since it's only a two-player game anyway, just to get the opponent to actually build stuff that you can go after and shoot down. It's a lot more fun trying to shoot down bombers that are attacking your cities, or trying to go after the enemy fighters before you send your own bombers, as opposed to constantly having to fight against flak guns, for example. Hmm. That's not very exciting. It's also quite deadly. So having fixed that, at least that part works. But the V1s, unfortunately, not quite.
What else would be interesting? Is maybe if it was instead of two players, it was like three players? So like the American and British sides were actually separate?
Yeah, the Americans are in there, although because of the way the scenario was designed originally, you don't really see the Americans come into play, because the game will basically end before you even get there, unless you're a horrible British player and you're getting really trashed by the German AI, which I have difficulties believing that would ever happen. But the Americans are actually included in there, and they are actually playable. What I wanted to do after having an actual functioning mod is to redesign the whole thing with a much larger map, in order to include the Americans, but also the Italians, and have the entire European theater, the Russians also. You need the Russian Air Force in there. Especially if you are a buff, somebody who really likes World War II airplanes, it's nice to have all of the Air Forces involved, so you can play with all of the airplanes and just tickle your funny bone, I guess. So you could have had... yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, you initially went for a dual-sized map, and I thought that was quite a good idea, because most scenario makers go for the biggest and massive scenarios.
Bigger is better.
Why did you go the other way with that one?
Originally, I went with a two-player just to keep things simple, just to see if it was even possible to balance a scenario where you have two... vastly imbalanced sides. You got the Germans, who are really at the beginning of the game, they're a juggernaut. And in terms of Civ 4, how do you balance this out when you have a really powerful side versus a much smaller one? So I had to play around with a lot of things. For example, in the foreign cities occupied by the Germans, you have resistance cells, partisan cells, that are causing all sorts of big modifiers, negative penalties, basically, for the Germans, which makes it very tough for the Germans to actually manage those cities until much later in the game, where things start to calm down on that side, and they can actually start using those cities to build stuff. But early on, the Germans are having a real tough time keeping up from a technological standpoint with Britain. The other thing, too, that the British have are regular shipments that arrive by sea. So they have those cargo ships that arrive in convoys. So that's part of a randomly scripted event. And what you do with those ships is, if you can manage to get them to your ports, they function a little bit like engineers. In other words, you can sacrifice the ships in exchange for either a tech bonus on whatever you were searching at the time, or a construction bonus within the city where the ships arrive.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's the only way I could figure out how to mimic the Atlantic convoys. And of course, the Germans are there. They have subs, and they have a few randomly scripted events that allow their subs to pop up, generally where the convoys would actually be shipping through, to try to capture these ships, since you can capture them, try to ship them back to the mainland coast. So these were all mechanics that I used to try to balance out two vastly differently balanced side in the scenario. So now that I know how to do that, it would be a lot easier for me to make a much bigger scenario where you would have different air forces, different fronts. For example, the North African front could be very interesting, because now you're dealing also with the Regia Aeronautica, the Italians. You can have... try to mimic the Ploesti raid with B-24s out of North Africa. You could do shuttle bombing from Britain over Germany the eastern part of Germany and then try to land your aircraft in Russia. And, of course, the Russian Air Force. It gets interesting. Of course, not all the models are available, graphically speaking, besides the Yak and maybe a Stormovik. I don't think many of the Russian airplanes are actually available graphically to be added to mods. That would be nice if they were there, though.
Well, you know, the artists have a lot of work ahead of them. And so do you. You have a lot of mod work to do.
Yeah, well, time is going to be a major factor here.
Have you considered doing anything with the British radar facilities that were really important and the technological development of radar
right.
at the time as maybe like an improvement I can put on the map? Radar. And that does something for me?
The only thing I have so far with radar is more along the line of what techs are available, whether you have researched early radar, advanced radar, and so forth. But there's nothing that you can put on the map. I was thinking especially things like SIT-3. You used to be able to build those little pylons anywhere on the map that gave you a combat bonus. If you fought within a range of one or two or three spaces.
Sensor towers.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what we called them in SMAC.
And, of course, I didn't know how to do that, so I had long conversations with Zebra 9 to try to find a way to do that, but we never got around to actually completing that. There are a number of issues that got in the way. Also, something that's really needed in that mod, which is not currently available, is something that resembles what just came out with colonization, which is quantum resources. Where it's one thing having access to a resource, it's another having enough of that resource to build whatever it is that you're trying to build at whatever rate. So, you know, if you keep on having too many losses, your resources are not going to be enough. For example, you might run out of aluminum or rubber or oil or pilots, for that matter. So that's one thing that would be very nice if there were a system that allows you to pool resources. Then the economic warfare, the industrial warfare, using bombers to try to paralyze the enemy becomes a lot more meaningful. Because if you start not only targeting factories, but also reserves, places where you store oil or places that process aluminum, things like that, then you can try to damage the enemy's reserves for certain goods that are necessary for air warfare. So that at the time was not available.
Yeah, and you could like do like a Dale's Combat version equivalent of, so like say if there's resources in the city, I can attack a building in the city, or I could attack their stores of
the
resources.
That would be cool.
And they make it go down.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that. Also, when you look at pilots, there are a couple of things that happen with pilots. Normally, there should have been separate units for air crews and airplanes. An airplane is a thing. It's a piece of metal that flies. It has certain performances. But really, combat experience is not stored in the airplane. It's stored in the crew.
Yeah.
So when you have to upgrade a unit, effectively what you have to do is separate the pilots from the airplanes, discard the old airplanes, recover whatever rubber, aluminum, steel, whatever there is to recover there, and recycle that, and then replace the unit with a better one, reattach that crew to the new airplane unit.
You might be able to use the Warlord mechanic for that a bit. I don't know.
Yeah, but the problem is, the combat stats are attached to the airplane, but the experience, the XPs, stays with the unit, the crew unit. It becomes a little bit more complicated. Because I was looking at, for example, Fall from Heaven. If you look at the way they handle their generals, you know, their warlords, it's actually a separate unit that you can move around with or attach to a combat unit. But the problem is the experience is still retained by the combat unit, not by the warlord. So it's kind of the same problem right here. The experience goes one way, and the statistics, the basic statistics of the unit, come from the airplane, not from the pilot. The other thing, too, that you can do with pilots, once you separate the pilot crew or the air crew from the airplane, you should have the option of sacrificing that crew in order to improve the quality of the flight schools available cities. So your crews coming out of the schools would be a little bit better than just plain green.
Well, let me ask some closing questions before we end this segment. Bruce, where exactly do you live? You have a interesting accent.
Thank you.
It says Windy City in your profile here?
Yeah, Windy City. That's I live in Chicago, but that's
Windy
not
City.
Where I'm from. Well, near Chicago. I'm way up north in the suburbs. But originally, I was born and raised in France. And part of my family is French, part of my family is American. But I've been in the States.
Parlez-vous français?
Absolument, je parle français.
Oh, oui, monsieur.
So that kind of explains why sometimes you might hear something that's not pronounced exactly the way you expect.
And what do you do for a living besides sieve?
Well, I have a very varied background as far as that goes. Originally, I came to the States to work for TSR, the old D&D publisher.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome job.
Thank you. Spent 15 years there doing a number of things. I managed the basic D&D line as far as the creative side is concerned. Then I've done a number of things after 15 years later, after the demise of the company. I ended up doing some scheduling and planning for website developers. I've done, I've worked with an airline. And that, of course,
what do you do right now?
Right now, I deal with family finance, so I deal with investments and things like that, insurance and mortgages.
Wow.
And it's fun. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's really fun right now.
Bruce, I have one question to ask you about your mod.
Yeah,
I just remembered it. Will you have any Zeppelins?
No Zeppelins. I don't have any
Zeppelins.
They were completely obsolete by World War II.
Well,
No. They were still going.
Ich wollte eine Zeppelin.
No. I didn't have any defensive blimps either. I didn't have any Zeppelins because, although you could conceive having them there, they didn't really have a huge impact on the Battle of Britain or certainly the entire air war for World War II. They weren't a huge part of it. So I had to make some choices of what to include or, what to walk away from.
No.
Right.
You will bring me my Zeppelins I desire.
Well, we should have had Zeppelins in that War One mod. I think it's a vanilla mod, wasn't it? John Schaefer's mod. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nine.
And this one should have had the Zeppelins and didn't.
Well,
that was a shame.
That is a shame.
Yeah.
And it's also a shame that we must now close this segment.
What a pity.
It is a pity. It's more time than nothing.
Call us if you have any feedback. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, it's a UK number, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email at polycast@apolliton.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolliton.net.
I would say for certain that we might have had a little bit too much fun.
Is that possible to actually have too much fun?
We'll check your adult diaper and see if there's anything in it.
Oh, that was you on Jerry Springer. Oh, now remember, Tony. I remember. You were the bloke who had the diaper on and everything. They're all laughing at you.
Yeah, I had to get on TV however I could. I just love publicity. Even if it's a,
infamous publicity?
The one. Yeah. I flashed my breasts on that show, too, so it was great.
Ooh, man.
Oh, now we really need diapers.
Yeah, you probably should check right now and see if you've pitched a loaf. Now, think fast, John. Say Crikey.
Crikey!
Oh, that's so cool. Ken, that was
yeah. But one other thing you have to explain to us. What is this Vegemite stuff?
Okay. Vegemite is a spread. Now, you know what peanut butter there is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have a spread in Australia called Vegemite. It's beautiful, and it's a lovely, lovely colour. And you spread it with some bread and butter on toast, whatever. Very yummy. And also,
okay, so
is it peanuts in it? Is it
no,
peanut
it's
butter?
Not.
What is it made from?
No, it's vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
What vegetable?
Spread, yeah. Very yummy. In England, they call
it... Is it a mix of vegetables, like V8 or something? Or
No. It's just a vegetable thing. Next week on the show, I'll actually... I'll bring in a little jar, and I'll be able to show it to you.
Yeah, of course, since this is a radio show...
Oh, I'll just send you the photos.
It comes right off the vegetable tree.
Close-up photos.
But still, I must know what vegetables. I mean, like...
Well, I haven't got a jar quite
yet. I love Nutella. I know that's made of hazelnuts and chocolate. So just tell me, what's it made of?
Oh, just yummy stuff.
You won't tell us.
I will next week. I promise. Next week, I'll bring one on the show, and I'll send you photos.
It's an Australian state secret.
And I'll read everything out on the label.
It's probably made of kangaroos or something.
Oh, it is. It's the national food. Absolutely.
Because the answer is New Zealanders, probably.
All right.
It what makes them grow so strong. And
all right.
Gives them the strength to wrestle crocodiles and alligators and whatever.
Jump on me.
Right. Say throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie for you.
Okay, hold on. Tony, don't wear him out too quick. We can't.
Okay. Don't want to spoil.
Yeah.
We'll spread out the Australian folks.
Yeah. Don't overdo it.
It's a bad kitty. It's a bad kitty. Today, we have been joined with Walter Locutus Snyder's.
Bye-bye.
Kenneth Impaler WRG. Berlin.
Transform and rule out.
John BT Oz. Archer.
See you later, everyone.
Me, Tony Garrett Zachary Keel. Bye. And with special guest co-host, Bruce Amberville Heard.
Au revoir, à bientôt.
All right. We will see you all in a couple weeks. Goodbye. Record date, November 2nd, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apollotan Civilization site at apollotan.net.